into bread. He must have got off somewhere in his prayer and away from town where there wasn't any bakeries around, or he wasn't anybody baking any bread anywhere. Because if he could have got close enough to it, he wouldn't have needed to turn stones into bread. But he got off somewhere in prayer where he got so hungry that he thought, if I'm a son of God, according to the Bible, according to what I've read about me, I could turn stones into bread and I'd have something to eat. But there was a power working in him, a quickened power of the Word of God that came to him. He had it memorized. And he said, the Spirit of God quickened him. You see that? It's not just the Word of God, the written Word, but remember, the letter killeth, but the Spirit make alive. And the Spirit of God was there to help him and quicken him and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that gave him power to go another day and obey God. God put him through the Spirit drove him. See, the Spirit of God can drive you. That's what I was telling you earlier. If God loves you, He'll deal with you. If you're His child, He chastises those whom He loves. He will deal with your life. Back, He'll force some things on you. Did your daddy ever force anything on you? God will. Now, ultimately, if you resist God enough, He'll finally turn you loose. But if He loves you, and you've done enough that caused God to love you. And I said, the reason you're here is because somebody loved you. Somebody called your name. Somebody's influence, the quickening of God through them touched your life. And that's God's grace. Here's the best definition of grace I know of. It's the divine power of God that influences one's life. It's not just the Word of God. It takes the Spirit of God. It's not just the Spirit of God. It always has the Spirit of God working in it, but it don't have to be the Word of God. Don't have to be a preacher. It don't have to be the church. It doesn't have to be. It could be a dream. Could be an earthquake. However God divinely touches you is a measure of His grace. And Jesus had the grace of God working in His life. No wonder the Apostle Paul called it great grace. I say that every once in a while. I thank God for His great grace. Because God's not just touched me. I'm not just somebody that just have been quickened by God. And neither are most of you. Most of you have been quickened and quickened and quickened some more and continually quickened, and you've moved from faith to faith and grace to grace. This thing just keeps growing. Your faith increases. You you'll get to a place where the three Hebrew children got there. That was a picture to me. There's a baptism of fire that God taking us through. He took the church in the Jewish world, the New Testament church, and He's taken this church down here. He's going to take us through fire, and He's going to take the next 1,000-year millennial reign through a purging. God's going to have to get us to a place that we say, I hope God delivers me. But if he don't, I'm still going to serve him. Because if he don't, he has a purpose in it. Because he never fails. He never fails. He knows what he's doing. And I know, you know, you couldn't say God failed Jesus when he died, but he died in God's will. You couldn't say God failed Peter when he died, or James or John or Paul. They died martyrs. But God was in it. It didn't just, look, sometime or another we got to die. If you're planning on getting out of here, now you might say, well, I'm not planning on dying. I'm just going to step over into the new life. Well, if you get to a place that you can step over into a new life, you won't care if you have to go there by death or stepping in. It won't matter, because you'll be so enveloped in the Spirit of God, and God will be so much a part of your life that you'll be willing to do it however he wants it done. There's something in God that just makes everything all right, no matter how it looks to the natural eye. The spiritual eye sees the purpose of God in it. That's why we need to get these eyes, full of eyes. The four beasts around the throne in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation were full of eyes before and behind. Wouldn't you like to get there? I see everything God's doing. I see it. Sister Inez, one of these days you're going to see why God took him. One of these days you'll know. It don't make sense right now, but one day we're going to get full of eyes. And God's wisdom is going to be so profound, so full of grace. They were going to say, my God, why didn't I see that then? Whew! Remember when Elisha said, he told God, his servant, you know, his servant got in a jam. He said, man, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. He said, don't you know there's a big guy? There's an army of men after us. Of course, I know that prophet, he was full of faith right then. You know, when God touches you, you feel pretty good for a while. You get back, when you sink back into yourself, when fear gets a hold of you. When you're full of God, there ain't no fear. He said, God, open this boy's eyes. And God touched him, and he seen a whole heavenly host of angels. Every once in a while. You know, listen, I believe that's available today. If you and I'll get close enough to God, there's more available to you right now. You don't have to wait till we get more of the church restored or a greater divine order. There's things happening in that Old Testament. You get close enough to God. As a matter of fact, I believe you could get in God's predestinated plan, where your time's not always. I'm not wanting to get there for my sake altogether. I just want to be where God wants me to be, but I just think it would be so wonderful to be yielded over a God enough that God could use you in that measure. You know, I know you've heard me say this again, but I love to talk about it. The Apostle Paul, God sent an angel to him in the midst of a storm and a shipwreck. And this angel told Paul. Now, don't you know Paul probably thought, I'm a goner. You know, Agabus told me if I wanted, made up my mind to go, I was going to die, or I was going to be bound. Don't tell him what all went through his mind. And that boat looked like they'd give up hope. And here come an angel of God out on a boat in the middle of a storm. Who is this guy? Where are you? what he looked like. I wonder if he looked like a pirate, or did he look like one of them? He must have just looked like one of them. But he told Paul, he said, "You're not going to die if you stay in the boat." Tell all these men don't to stay in the boat. We use that story several, you know, a lot, just to remind all of us to stay in the boat. When a storm hits your life, don't let it shake you out. Stay in the boat. Stay in the place God put you, in the church. But he was so important to God. He got in God's predestinated plan, and he said, God's not through with you yet. You still got more to do. The Apostle John was the same way. God, he was boiled in oil. He was on a secluded island of Patmos. And God told him, said, you got to prophesy some more. Shut the book up. But he said, you know, eat it. He said, you're going to have to tell some more. There's some more for you to tell. You're not fixing to die yet. You got a job to do. And you know, the apostle of Paul, I'm confident as I am standing here that he already had made it. So he didn't care. He didn't care whatever. There was enough of the Spirit of God sustaining him. It didn't make no difference. He didn't care. I'm sure he'd like to went on and been with the Lord, but don't you know there was enough of God right there sustaining him? That's what Jesus finally learned in all that temptation, that the Word of God quickened him, gave him power to go without food for 40 days. They found a guy over there in Haiti under a rubble that 22 days after the storm, after the earthquake, they found him. He was so dehydrated and delirious, and they thought, there's no way this man could live, but they found out he is drinking muddy water. That under there, he found there was some pool of muddy water under there that he drank, and it kept him alive. Can you imagine Jesus going 40 days and nights? But he got in God so far that it sustained him. No wonder he told his disciples later on, he sent them to town to get something to eat while he went over and talked to a little Samaritan woman. And he told his disciples, said, "I've got bread to eat you don't know nothing about. I've learned, I've got hold of something. Something's got a hold of me." Oh, saints, there's a place in God. There's another power in Acts, the first chapter. I should have mentioned it first, but in the 8th verse, remember when Jesus told his disciples this? He said, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." I was talking about back there. That's not talking to us. That's talking to those men. He was telling them, you go in the upper room, you are going to receive power. And you are going to be witnesses of me. In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem's where the temple was, and that was the main hub of the religion of the Judaism. And then Judea was the region that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel. And then Samaria was where the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel. Samaria was the capital of Israel. Judah was the southern kingdom. There was a divided kingdom. And if you remember Jeroboam in the division made a golden calf and set up false worship for the people of God in the northern kingdom, and they They weren't worshipers of the true God anymore, but they were Jews, and they were part of the children of Abraham, and they were called to be a part of God, and they were the only other people in the earth that had a touch of God. And that's why first God sent, he said, I want you to go throughout all Jerusalem, then Judea, then I want you to reach into Samaria. Those are the people that I've already been touched. My grace has already reached them, touched them. They can be touched. Then the uttermost parts of the earth will be the rest of the Gentile world. But this Holy Ghost, you receive the Holy Ghost, and it'll give you power. And you do. You've got to have power of the Spirit of God. Not just its quickening of the Word of God that causes faith, but this indwelling, this life, this resident life of God and being born of it. Let me tell you why it makes you a witness. Is because when you become a child of God through the birth of the Spirit. See, when you're just converted, you're forgiven of all past sins. You still have an Adamic nature. And you're just like children were under the law. You're God's child, but you still have an Adamic nature. God can quicken you. He can touch you. You can have faith. You can have the Word of God that'll help you, but it'll never deliver you from that Adamic nature. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be quickened, and you must have another nature. And when you're born of God's Spirit, there's another nature that you're born of that becomes a part of you. It's an indwelling. It stays there. You're born of God. You have the nature of God dwelling in you. Just like Adam. Just like Jesus. No man had that after Adam fell. Men were all born of Adam. Let me give you a scripture in Luke right quick. I quote this sometimes, but it's the reason I do is because it's a key scripture. In Luke 1 and 79, the 79th verse of Luke, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, is talking about Jesus. He's prophesying. He's talking about his son John, and he's prophesying about Jesus. The 76th verse said, thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Talking about his son, John the Baptist. He would be a prophet of God, and he would be a forerunner of Christ and prepare the way for the world to receive him, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. That day spring is the Son of God. The Son, it's just like, you know, the day when the day springs upon us, there's light. And he was the light of the world. And he said he's visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. He came to give light to those that sat in darkness. How many of you would you know, you all have to admit, I've been in darkness. So at some point in your life, you're in darkness concerning the things of God. You have to be quickened. You've got to get this for yourself. It's not mom and daddy's religion that'll get you there. But this quickening, this enlightenment, this touch of God on your life. We all sit in the shadow of death. I have a teaching, I use that scripture in to show how Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, is talking about Jesus. When he, in the part where he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. What that psalm is talking about, Jesus, when he came to this earth, death shattered over every man, and there was no way out of here alive. Every man was facing death. Every man was facing death without everlasting life. There was no way to have life without Jesus coming. And the reason he had to come was so you and I could be born again of the same spirit he was born of, but he couldn't give it to us until he finished the work. He had to overcome sin. He had to finally be conditioned and transformed, because he took not on the nature of an angel when he came here. He took on the seed of Abraham and became like unto men, Paul said in Philippians and Hebrews. And so he became like us, and he had this trial, this temptation. He did that so he could become a mediator and a faithful high priest that knew what we're going through. How's he gonna get it? How's anybody gonna get us out of here if they don't know how to get out of here? That's why God sent Jesus. When you're born of his spirit, you've got another nature dwelling in you. And that nature you have to grow in that nature. Finally, your thinking. This quickening of the Word of God transforms your thinking. Finally, you get a mind like God. If you'll stay and abide in him. The problem is, do you know the church has missed it for the most part? For the most part, they said, just come, kneel at the altar, repent of your sins, and you're heaven ready. Hogwash. I'm sorry, that's hogwash. That's just Arkansas-ier and Oklahoman for baloney. I don't know what baloney, that means it's not true. That's the political correct way to say that is it's not true. You're God's child, but you're not heaven ready. I've often said if God just took this little class to heaven, we'd have trouble. We'd corrupt heaven. Mm-hmm. Somebody would get mad at somebody. Somebody would get a bad spirit. Somebody probably tell a lie. We'd wind up having what we've got right here. You say, well, God's going to fix all that. Hogwash. Baloney. Not true. Does that satisfy everybody in here? God's not going to fix it. Don't you know God's smarter than that? You're smarter than that. Don't bring God down on such a low level. To think that God is just, we're just living in this corruption and all this that's going on, and we can't never do any better. We can never grow or be transformed. And so God someday is just going to have to say, look, I'm just going to take you like you are, and I'll make you perfect, and where you'll never sin again. Well, why didn't he just do that to start with? Answer that question. It's because that's not how it is. There's a transformation process going on. And God will, when you're born of his nature, you can grow and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Finally, you can become like him. I know that's foreign doctrine to religion, but it's Bible. You can overcome sin, the nature of sin. Jesus did. And let me give you a scripture on that. Look in Romans 8:29. I know I'm running out of time. Romans 8:29. says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Everybody say many brethren. Yeah, God wants many people to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. He wants you to be just like him. He wants you to overcome sin just like Jesus overcame it. He wants you to reach perfection. He wants you to make the bride. He needs bride members, rulers, to rule with Christ down through the next 1,000 years. You talk about it, work. Whew. Aunt Susie, me and you, we're going to rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. We're going to watch every knee be bowed. Every tongue is going to confess. Every nation is going to dissolve the rulers of men and take Christ as their head. And the church, there's not going to be any sin. People who are 100 years old, if they die, they'll die because they're cursed. Because people will live to be 1,000 years old again, just like old Methuselah. There'll be some people who said, Methuselah, I read about you, 969 years old. Well, I topped you, buddy. I lived through the millennium and I made it all the way through, 1,000 years. I finally give up on counting. There ain't no more death now. Is going to sustain life everlasting. God is working on something. It's a big plan. And there's just a remnant in this world that's going to get it. And there's just a remnant in the early church got it. But that remnant with Christ together is going to finally bring this whole world to righteousness. And when he finished with that, there's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be millions to deal with over in the 8th day. So we got a big job, Brother Tally. But interesting. I'm telling you, there's nothing more interesting, Brother Weaver, than getting in this thing, hook, line, and sinker, whole hog, over your head. There's nothing more interesting than the work of God that's going on in the earth today. But you got to get in it. You got to get in it. It's got to get in you. And life just begins. And this nature of God, the power of a born again child of God. Now you can have this, but if you live in the old nature of Adam, it won't do you much good. But if you can learn how to start abide, you know what Jesus said? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's talking about abiding in the Holy Ghost nature like he abode in God. He said, my Father and me, and me and him, and we and you. When you get to a place you can abide in Christ, you can ask what you will. There's a little kicker. You just won't ask anything that's out of his will because you'll have eyes full of eyes. You'll see. You'll know the mind of the Spirit. And you just won't ask God for things that's vain or of the nature of Adam. But all of what God... See, Jesus knew what to ask because the Spirit quickened him. He knew he was going to resurrect. How'd you like to know you're going to resurrect a man from the dead when you go to the hospital? Woo! How'd you like to know? Said, brother, come on, man. Let's go to the hospital and pray for her sister so-and-so. She's dying. Said, no, we're not going yet. Let's wait a while. God already told you. You didn't tell it, but God already told you. Wait till she dies. Because I want to do a miracle. I want you to raise her from the dead. In fact, I want you to wait until they put her in the grave. Let them have a funeral. Let them bury the coffin. And then go. Say, it's time. Let's go pray for that sister. Say, you idiot. She's already in the grave. Say, I know it. I feel like praying. Whew. My God, you talk about somebody abiding in God. You ain't run into a fool like that, have you? I'm talking about Jesus. That's what everybody thought he was. When he went up to that grave, he said, Lazarus! He said, roll back that stone. They said, I'm telling you, he stinks. He said, roll it back. I'm telling you, somebody had talked to him. He was full of eyes. This wasn't no hope so, maybe so deal. I know he lived by faith, but I know the Spirit talked to him. He was living in a realm. This Holy Ghost nature is powerful. It's a power, the power of God. You'll be a witness when the power of God, you begin to dwell in this Holy Ghost nature and you walk in the Spirit and God backs you up. Jesus said, I'm not here by myself, but there's another one that bears witness of me. You went where Jesus was, you saw a witness of God and God's Spirit. God in heaven. And you can have that same power. You and I, God's looking for those abiders in the Holy Ghost to begin to walk and be witnesses for Him. This other power, I'll read it to you in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. In the 6th chapter, most of you know this, it tells us to go on to perfection or a place of maturity. I think I talked on that recently. And it says you'll do this if God permits. You see, you can't decide you're going to go further in God. I mean, you can, but you can't. You can make up your mind, I'm going on with God, but you can only grow as fast as God allows you to grow, because God knows where you're at and you can't be somewhere you're not. So God has to give you more. It's faith to faith. It's glory to glory. It's a process. Just accept it. Salvation is a process. It starts with the forgiveness of sins and accepting Christ as your Savior. Through faith, it's a quickening of God. There ain't nothing better. Whew. I'll tell you, I feel good. Every once in a while, Brother Daniels, I just think about it. I think, God forgive me all my sins. He wiped my slate clean. Whew! I'm telling you, God will never hold it against me. You ought to feel pretty good about that. You know, that everything I've done wrong, everything in my past, God's forgave me of it. And if you got anything lingering right now, just all you got to do is ask Him to forgive you. You don't have to make a big sin. You can get saved right where you're at. Brother Doug has a song he wrote about this old friend of his. It's just talking about an old sinner boy that finally decided to nail down at his bed and just ask God to forgive him. Go back to God. He'd been saved before, but he just realized he needed God more than ever, and he just finally yielded. What a burden lifted off when you finally get your sins forgiven. And God touches you in a way that you know they're gone. Hallelujah. There's nothing better. But then, this process, going on to perfection, And this will we do if God permits, verse 3. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. I think we've done that. I think we've been enlightened. If God's touched you and you've been enlightened, you've got some light. And you tasted the heavenly gift. You tasted this. You've tasted of Christ. Taste the Lord and see that He is good, the psalmist said. And you're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You've been born of His nature. And you've tasted the good Word of God. See, He's letting you receive more and more knowledge of His Word and understanding. It's impossible for those people if they fall away. Oh, I left out verse 5, and that's the one I wanted to give you. And have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. There's another power. There's a power in this born-again nature of the Spirit of God. There's a power in the Word of God, but there's powers of the world which is to come. That I hate to tell you, but none of us has tasted that yet. But it's coming, and you can taste it. See, if you overcome sin, when you move into that abiding place I was talking about, and you finally get to a place in God, that He finally lets you taste the powers of the world to come. That place where, like Jesus, whatever the need is, if you need to walk on water, if you need to raise somebody from the dead, it's the power of the world to come. That is the ruling of the world through Christ being the head of it. You just being a vehicle that He's using. I'm longing for that power to work in me. I've had just little touches of it. We prayed for a lady one time up in Paducah, Kentucky, and I saw a garter just fall off of her neck. I've seen a few miracles. I've had an out-of-body experience. There's been just a few tastes. I don't think I've tasted of the power, but I've tasted of this abiding in Him. That finally, that everlasting power, that Christ, the head of the church, finally everything will come under that power. I like to work with Him in that and see that operate. It's a power of love, but it's an operation of God that supersedes powers known to man. Hallelujah. Saints, there's something great coming in the church. Don't get weary in well-doing. You'll reap in due season if you faint not. And I'm telling you, a restored church is coming up out here on the scenes. There's a beast and a dragon's power that's rising up, but God raises a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises a standard. And He'll have a church that'll rise above. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, we saw that today. There was a war that went on between the dragon and his angels, Michael and his angels. I want you to know, in heaven, there's another war in heaven fixing to take place down here in the end of the Gentile world. The dragon and his angels are going to fight against the war against Michael and his angels one more time. And I can already tell you. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, John looked and he said, I saw one sitting on a white horse. He had a name written on his thigh. His name was the Word of God. And I saw horses, and they that were with him were thee called. Hallelujah. I can already tell you, I've read the back of the book. Michael and his angels are going to win, and I intend to be in that army. Hallelujah. Saints, you got power, and there's more of it available. Believe against all things. Believe against hope. Don't let anybody take the power of God away from you. Power of God in the Word of God and in the Holy Ghost. And then this power that God's fixing to make available to the church one more time. There's a glorious church. He's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. There's a people of God that's going to rise up in righteousness of God and in the power of God that this world's never seen anything like it. It's going to turn the world upside down. A lot of people, a lot of churches are looking for a falling away. I'm looking for the greatest revival the world's ever seen since the early church. It's biblical. I know it's going to happen. Let's get ready for it. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. All right, we've got to take up an offering. We can't run this outfit without any money. Yes. Let's keep remembering Brother Ron Johnson's wife. Sister Rice is not here today. She needs our prayers. The Perry family, I don't know where they're at. Does anybody know? They go to Missouri. Let's pray for them. I'm a little worried about them. Sister Rachel. Yes, Brother Fred Stewart. His oldest son, his girlfriend, got killed in a car accident. He went up there. He'll be back this evening. But let's remember that need. Plus, he went to the hospital. Was that Friday? When was that? Did he go to the hospital? Friday night? No, Thursday night, wasn't it? Fred. Thursday night, because Friday he went to the doctor, didn't he? And they ran tests on, he's got an eye that's constricted and it's not dilating properly. And they run all kinds of tests on him. They couldn't find anything wrong. They discharged him and let him go, had him to go to a neurologist. He went to the neurologist and the neurologist says there's something wrong. And he's afraid they've missed something and he feels like he may have a tumor behind that eye. Let's pray for Brother Stewart. My, he's a faithful brother in the Lord. He's certainly worthy of our prayers. He's a great, great help to this assembly as worker and labor here. Let's remember him. Sister Abraham. Okay, let's remember that need. Sister McGowan. Remember that. Brother McGowan's hurt his back, and that's why he's sitting back there. He's in pain, so let's pray God would touch him and help him. Sister Kayla? What'd she say? Grandpa. Okay. Brother Dave. Okay. Let's remember him. Sister Oates. All right, let's keep asking God. He's having to work a lot of hours, Brother Crafty. All right, let's remember that. Sister Sheila's been asking prayer for her too. Keep remembering that. Sister Susan's not here today. Let's keep remembering her. Okay. My mother, she just still has unstable days. Of course, she's be 89 this year, but keep praying for her. Sister Brenda. Okay. All right. I've been having a feeling also for your daughter, Crystal, and her husband. What's his name? Josh? And I just really had them come up in my mind several times lately. I feel like that's a family the Lord would like to come this way if we would focus. It's something I've been feeling that God, when God gives us someone to focus on, that we need to put an effort and really reach out to that family. And different one of you young couples need to just surround them with love and fellowship. And, you know, don't try to do much more than that. Just be friendly and love them. People respond to love. Do you know that? And I feel like that's a way to win souls that we need to embrace. Pray with me about that family. Also, the Perrys, I mentioned them a minute ago. Some of y'all need to reach out to them. Have them over. Spend some time with them. They need fellowship. They're doing good. Hadn't they done good? But you can't, you hit bumps in this. It's hard to make it by yourself. You need support and strength. So reach out to them and embrace them. Isn't it good to have the Batesville youth here today and have them with us? We appreciate y'all being here. All right, Sister Wilkins. All right. Let's remember that, Sister Julie. All right, Sister Wilson, let's remember her. Sister Hutchison. Let's remember that name. All right, Sister Cindy. All right. Pray their house closes this week. Supposed to. Brother Dodson. All right. Let's remember Sister Catherine, Brother Dodson, Keith, Brother Matthew. All right. Remember that. Keep praying for Brother and Sister Durham. Their house needs to sell, and Sister Durham's got an interview this week in Little Rock School District, so remember that. Some of the sisters are down in the kitchen. Dinner's ready. All right, let's stand and ask God to meet these needs before we go eat, and then if the ushers would come make your way to the front, receive your tithes and offerings. Yes. Make an announcement this morning again for the Sweetheart Dinner is next Saturday. Isn't it next Saturday? This next Saturday at 6 p.m. Steak and chicken. It's $30 a couple, and that includes drinks, dessert, and a full meal. It's be catered in downstairs in the dining room. Brother Doug York, Sister Yvonne, they always come up with something that's interesting and a lot of fun. So be sure you sign the, is the sheet still back there? All right, yeah. So be sure to sign that if you're, because he needs to let them know so they know how many people to prepare for. Yeah. And then we need your money on it. So how are we doing that? Giving it to Sister Weiniger? So she'll mark you paid if you give her your money. All right. Now don't include that in your tithes. We can't pay your dinner. All right, let's ask God to help us with these needs. Dear God, Father, we love you today. Oh, Savior, hallelujah. Help us, Jesus. God, with these needs, these that are sick, urgent needs, Brother Martin, God, touch him. Touch his heart today. Oh, Savior, Savior, Savior. God, these others that are ill and sick in their body, ask you to heal them. Touch them today, Lord. Those that need encouragement, need help, need your touch in their lives, oh God. Ask you, Lord, these each need that was mentioned and requested and spoken here today, both spoken and unspoken, Lord, would you just, we lay it before you and ask you, Lord, to take these petitions. We trust you, Father, and we know you hear our prayers. We give you thanks. Glorify your name. Amen, amen, amen. All right, God bless you as you give here today. You can be seated for a few minutes. Thank you. that you might have, I don't know, it says Dodge Motorsports on it.